Welcome to University Drive, your pathway to the transformational work of University of the Bahamas. Our goal is to build a better Bahamas by shaping tomorrow's leaders today, finding solutions to challenges, and forging new opportunities for growth. University Drive, where faculty, staff, students, and alumni travel the road of progress together with you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of University Drive, where we dive deep into the stories that inspire and motivate you on the road of progress. We've been keeping tabs on him, happily so, peering into his life at key moments and cheering him on as he breaks, then sets new records on a remarkable front. Each time he joins us, the conversation is stimulating. He speaks from the heart, and I believe his heart is what helps to feed his superpower both on and off the track. I'm talking about none other than Ken Mullings Jr., a member of the Bahamas Olympic team, a multi-event competitor, a former UB student, and now UB alumnus. Ken, welcome, and thanks so much for joining us here again on University Drive.
Thank you for having me.
I mean, what do I say? First, congratulations. You're going to Paris to compete in the Olympics, a long-held dream of yours. How does that feel?
It feels incredible, to be honest. I'm very satisfied and happy that all of my hard work is paying off over the years. And I'm glad to go compete against the top athletes in the world to see how I hold up against them.
Wow, you're very humble. Always have been. This is like your third or maybe fourth time joining us here on University Drive. Before I go into the nitty-gritty of you going to Paris and representing yourself and your alma mater and your country, let's talk a little bit about Ken, the man, the person, right? Tell us a little bit about you for those who might not have been following your journey all this time. Tell me about what has brought you to this pivotal moment.
What has brought me to this pivotal moment? Let's see. For one, I was born in Freeport and I moved to Turks and Caicos. This is where I was introduced to track and field. My last 2 years of Turks and Caicos, I had a Jamaican coach named Donovan Garvey. And he introduced me to track and field. He was talking about the world champs in 2011. It was 2012 at the time, but 2011 world champs. He was showing a repeat of the world champs games. And Ashton Eaton was on the recording. Now, I wasn't all into the decathlon as yet. That just happened to be the first track and field video I really saw. And he was like, hey, if you make these teams, you get to travel for free. And I was all in. From then, I was all in. But I started as a high jumper. Luckily, I grew. I was a chubby kid, and I grew 6 inches that summer, which helped the way to disperse and, I guess, help with my athleticism. So I started as a high jumper. And then later down the line, I switched to the decathlon.
Wow, fascinating. Freeport native, right? Good.
That's wrong.
And move to Turks and Caicos. And then eventually your life would bring you into New Providence. But we'll talk about that. What do you think it is that you had within you? Why were you attracted to track? What at that stage in your life when you were in Turks and Caicos and you were having this conversation and considering it, what is it that you liked about athleticism, being athletic and track in particular? Why not basketball? Why not baseball? Why not soccer?
To be honest, I've done a lot of sports, actually. I was in basketball. I was in rugby. I think that was it pretty much. Track and field was like the last last option I was in. Because I started off as a basketball player. Even at CC Sweden, I was in on the team the two times for Hugh Campbell, what they won when I was in grade 10 and grade 12. But rugby, I did mostly my rugby stuff when I was in Turks and Caicos. And That was a little too physical for me. But track and field, I was really interested in track and field. I was always interested in sports on the whole because just bettering yourself just piqued my interest. Whether it's running, throwing, or jumping, anything would have to do with improvement, I was always interested in that.
So not only are you a humble soul, you are dedicated, a lifelong, dedicated, courageous person who always wants to improve himself. Got it. Got it. Now, you said something I can't let you leap over. I'm not an alum of CC Sweeting, but you said CC Sweeting. So let's go back to CC Sweeting. Who are the people who poured into you when you used to be there as a student?
Oh, I have a few. I have Miss Wilson, my PE teacher, another Gavi. Interesting. My other PE teacher when I came down here, he was also Mr. Gavi. Miss Moss, Miss Green, my science and math teacher, Miss Anderson, of course, I almost forget about her. I have a lot of teachers used to help me a lot because when I was younger, it was a little more difficult than it is now. So I used to have to catch the bus early, early in the morning. When I say early, I mean one of the first bus, like 5 a.m., 5:30, because I used to catch the bus with my mom to drop her to work because, it was a little more, she felt more safe if I was to go with her. And then I would end up going to school. And I used to reach the school really early. And one of the teachers, Miss Green at the time, she heard about it and she decided to pick us up in the morning, which made life so much easier. So without them, shoot, I don't know what I would have do without my teachers and CC Sweden. They made a lot of this possible for me.
Wow, kindness, right? A little kindness goes a long way. And sometimes we overlook these acts of kindness and the part that they play in helping us to become who we are, right?
Yeah, sometimes you overlook. I try not to. Every act of kindness that someone has done to me, I've tried to remember it and always pay back tenfold.
Wow, awesome. So what about siblings, right? And parents? How have they contributed to the person that you've become?
Well, looking at the struggles that my parents and my siblings and I go through, it kind of motivate me to try and do better and make sure I don't waste every moment. My dad always told me, if you're going to do something, do it 100% or don't do it at all. So every time I try to do something, I always remember that to put my best foot forward because I don't want to waste my time. And I definitely don't want to waste my son's time because now I have a son now. He's 1 and 4 months. And I want to make sure I lead by example. So if I teaching him something, he can't say, hey, dad, you're not even doing it, you know?
I understand. Wow. So all of those life lessons that have been poured into you, you are now pouring into the next generation.
Course.
Do you mind if I ask your age?
I'm 27 now.
You're 27 years old, a young 27 years old. As you look back over your life and everything that's happened to you, would you do anything differently?
I think about this question a lot, and I always have a different answer every time I think about it. But the majority of the time, I would always say no, I wouldn't change anything. But then every time I revisit the question, I would say I would try to get involved with pole vault earlier, or I would try to do more research in certain events early in my life. But other than that, I don't think I would change anything because I love the results of the life I'm living now, and I don't think I would have wanted it any other way.
Okay, very good and very mature answer. I never thought about the fact that if you ask that question at different points in your life, you probably have to give different answers. Very interesting. Let's take it back to athletics. It seems like you've found a time machine because you've been able to excel in athletics while you were doing other very important things, being a student, having to balance personal time with the time, the vast amount of time it takes to excel as an athlete. How have you been able to balance and juggle all of those responsibilities and still stay on top of them?
Well, for me, I don't know if it was easier for me because I don't really like to party or go out a lot. I like to enjoy time with friends now, don't get me wrong, but I'm not really a night person. So it was easier for me to be disciplined to get enough rest to put to pour into school and track and field. So I, in that aspect, I never struggled to make sure I get enough rest in me. But in terms of trying to balance everything, it was difficult balancing everything, but once I put my mind to it, I found time for everything in terms of getting my work done or getting all 10 events in or making sure I eat enough food or all those other stuff. I found it was, and the hours, the library hours you have to keep putting in as a student athlete, I found enough time to do all of that without hindering my game time or my anime time because I like to watch anime and read the manga as well. Shout out to all my anime readers.
Hoot hoot on behalf of my daughter. So, like I said at the top of the show, you have been here on University Drive over the years, right? It started when you were a freshman at UB, and I know that UB has been a big part of your life and really pouring into and helping you to develop. Back in 2018, which was the last time you were on the show, I asked you this question, and I want to compare the answer you gave then to the answer that you're going to give now. So I'm going to ask this again. What does the life of a dedicated, successful athlete who excels require in order to be the best? What does the life of an athlete require in order to be the best?
The life of a successful athlete requires a lot of discipline and a lot of sacrifice. And when I say sacrifice, I don't mean just, oh, I'm gonna start playing this game 1 hour less today, or I'm gonna go to sleep 1 hour earlier. This is be some serious sacrifice you have to put in to get to this world-class level. I'm talking about less family time. I know it sounds tough, but you just have to sacrifice family time. You have to sacrifice relationships. You just have to sacrifice a lot of stuff to really pour into any type of athletics, not just track and field. Not even just track and field. Even in your different careers, whatever you choose, the type of sacrifice you'll have to put in to reach to the next level is no joke.
I understand. So I gave a little bit away when I asked the question the first time, but back then you actually also said discipline. Discipline was the first thing you said back then, right? Then you said
Yes.
dedication, and I used that word and I was asking the question. You said dedication, and then you said good nutrition, strict nutrition, a lot of sleep, and a lot of practice.
Oh, yes, all those play a part too. It's just that over the years, as I got older and realized I had to give more to get more, I realized I needed to sacrifice more. So now that's one thing what I wish I learned then. I wish I knew then what I know now, how much more I would have to sacrifice to actually be better.
Hindsight is 2020. And I want to give a shout out to your wife because you're talking about sacrificing time, family time, but she is the other part of you, the other best part of you, right? So
Of course.
what role is she played in that?
She has played the biggest role. Ah, to the point where me and Michael Owibo is be having our little jibs and jabs of comedy. Man, he is get off a lot of me for the sacrifices for that. Because she's in Long Island now, so I would have to spend a lot of time in Nassau or in the States. So she plays a big role in holding down our family until I get back. So without her, this wouldn't even have been possible. Because I always have to get permission now because she's my other half. If she tell me no, I can't go, I'll pack up track and field right now.
Wow. Very, very strong words, and it says a lot. But would she ever do that?
If she see that it's needed, she would. I don't think she would want to do it, but if she see that it's needed, she would. Because honestly, we've had many conversations like that in the past. So I don't like to put it on her. We like to talk about it and make sure we understand from each person's aspect to make sure we make the right decision at the moment. I don't want it to be where she forced me to do something or I forced her to do something. But I always like for her to know that she has a say in it because I don't want her to think my track life is just my choice. I want her to know if she don't think I should do this any further and I need to be more at Long Island, that's okay with me. At any moment, I will shut it down.
Well, on behalf of a grateful nation, a grateful university, a grateful citizen of the Bahamas, I commend your wife for allowing you to continue in the vein that you're continuing in athletics. And I believe that you will go on to higher heights. So kudos to her for that. And your response demonstrates your level of maturity and respect for your marriage and your life partner. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. It's a beautiful thing to hear
Thank
you
you.
say, to hear you talk from the heart like that, and to give deference and respect to your marriage and to your wife. That's a good thing. Very good. All right, so you would not believe how quickly time flies by. We have to take a break right now. I know our listeners will stay locked in. You're listening to University Drive. We are talking to Ken Mullings Jr., y'all. He's on the Bahamas Olympic team, the only multi-event athlete, and he's a UB alum. Back after the break.
Are you ready to take your knowledge or career to new heights? Don't wait to invest in your future. Do it now. How? Earn a professional development certificate from University of the Bahamas. Whether you're looking to enhance your leadership abilities, sharpen your technical skills, or explore a new field entirely, our Continuing Education and Lifelong Learning Center has the ideal course for you. We offer single-phase electrical, ethics and procurement, accounting for entrepreneurship, stop managing, start leading, dynamic presentations, digital marketing, superior customer service, and justice of the peace. We even have courses on smartphone photography, TikTok videos, defensive driving, and interacting with difficult people. Or open the door to new languages with English as a second language, conversational Chinese, and Spanish in the workplace. Our instructors are experts in their fields and they're here to support you every step of the way. Call us at 302-4449. Enroll today.
Chapter One Bookstore is proud to serve the students, faculty, and staff of the University of the Bahamas and the community at large. We are the premier choice for the purchase of university textbooks and supplies and UB logo apparel, paraphernalia, and gifts. We also carry a wide variety of school supplies, learning aids, and leisure books. Visit our copy center for all of your printing, copying, and binding needs. Chapter One Bookstore is located on the ground floor of the Michael H. Eldon Complex on University Drive. Shop with us on Monday through Saturday. You can contact us at 397-2650 or email at chapter1@ub.edu.bs. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chapter One Bookstore. Chapter One, the premier choice.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to University Drive. We're back here on the show talking with Ken Mullings Jr. He is a member of the Bahamas Olympic team, the only multi-event competitor, and he is a UB alum. Ken, what does it take to be a multi-event competitor? What are we talking about here? What does that mean, multi-event competitor?
A multi-event competitor, you have to be very open-minded. You can't be stuck in one mindset where this is the best way or I have to focus on this event more than the next. You have to literally be open to new roads and avenues to better all the events. Because the one thing that is more of a priority than the rest is speed at this level. If anything, you have to focus on is speed, because speed carries most of the points in a lot of the events, like the 100, the long jump, the 400, the 110 hurdles. It could even help you with discus and so forth. And pole vault. I almost forget pole vault. And the events, what I call just now, they carry the most points. So if you have speed, then you have at least 5 to 6 out of the 10 events. But now, after that, then you have to really focus on your strength. And not just being strong, being explosive is key. So if you have speed and explosiveness, then you're ready 80% of the way. But then to finish it off is the endurance. And that's one thing I'm trying my best to tweak my program, or me and coach are trying to brainstorm the best way to have speed, the explosiveness, and endurance. That's why I commend a lot of Damien Warner and LePage them for actually, and Ashton Eaton, for being fast and explosive and having a really good 1500. That's a crazy combination to have.
What did you have to work on that you didn't have at top level in order to just take your speed to the max and then hike your endurance while at the same time really being explosive? What did you have to really do?
I had to change my mindset and focus a lot on the drills. That's one thing. I even was talking to the kids in the clinic the other day, the clinic that was hosted by me and Powerade. I was trying to talk to the kids about understanding the importance of the drills that we do to prepare for each event. Because the more I learned how important the drills were, the better my technique got, and the better I was able to strike the ground and when I'm running. And the other aspect, what I learned, I couldn't really tell the kids because they were young, and gym is not something that you really implement for children at that age. That's one thing that I have fixed over the years to really develop the explosive power I need to be faster and stronger.
Do you want to know what you said back in 2018 when I asked you that same question?
Yes, let me hear this.
You said it takes patience.
Ha! But yes, that is one too, but I guess I got a little more into detail now about because you really do need patience, because you could get fed up as quick as a finger snap in these events.
Yeah, that would make sense. I've seen you break record after record after record after record. Did you go in thinking, because you mentioned mindset, do you go into your competitions thinking, I have this and I am gonna do this and I have already won the race, or I've already won this competition? Or do you go in saying, boy, I really have to do this? I'm curious to get in your mind as you approach these meets and these competitions.
Well, listen, that's a good question, because when I was younger, my mindset going into it was just, I need to score this amount of points overall. But now over the years, I realized the best way to approach a decathlon is one event at a time. Like, I used to go straight to the 1500 and I haven't even warmed up yet for the 100. But now my mindset is just, okay, I need to execute like this in the 100 to focus on my drive phase and just hold my form and run as fast as I could. I don't even think time-wise no more, or distance-wise. Like, I'm human, so in the back of my head, I have the results where I feel like I should score. But I try to erase all of that out of my head and focus on the 100 first. That's the mindset I started going with from earlier this year. And it seems to be working out, because I've gone from ranking 50-something in the world to now ranking 19th or 20th, I think it is. So as my trajectory go up, I feel like I'm leaning more in the right mindset on how I should be attacking these events.
Very good. What is the most challenging event of them all for you?
The most challenging event for me is javelin. Even though the 1500 meter is my weakest points, javelin is the most challenging, because you could either hit or miss with the javelin. I could hit one and it could go out to 60 meters, or I could completely miss and throw 53, which is almost 200 points different. So javelin for me is the hardest one to be consistent in.
Okay, all right. And what for you has been that discipline where, man, you just, you, not that you could do it in your sleep, right? But you've just soared so much. It surprises you. Which discipline?
Hurdles, the 110 hurdles.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us why. Long jump is starting to be like that for me because I've improved a lot in long jump. But the 110 hurdles for me has been so good to me, I guess, because every race I do, I run faster and faster. It's to the point now where if I didn't do the decathlon, I would have probably just focused on the 110 hurdles. That's how confident I am in the 110 hurdles.
Okay, and you say long jump is becoming like that for you?
Long jump. There are some other promising events, long jump, high jump, pole vault. I'm pretty good in those four events where I get a lot of points. But high jump, I need to, if I was to do high jump individually, that would take so much out of me because I'd have to change my body frame. I have to lose a little bit of weight just to get a couple more inches. I don't know. So you could take high jump out of it. I don't take that off the list.
Well, we're glad to be giving you this time for you to reflect on these things, right? Because you might say something now and feel quite differently afterwards.
Yeah.
What helps you to stay motivated during difficult times? Because when I think of the life of the athlete, you know, I think about how, you know, it might not all be roses. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, sometimes you excel, sometimes you don't. It takes quite a bit of endurance and resilience and a can-do attitude and mindset. What do you focus on when things are going really rough and not the way you want them to go?
I focus on the good training sessions I've had, basically. And when I say that, I mean, for example, let's say like in Chile in November when I went to the games and I no-hid it in pole vault. Stuff like that don't hold me down long because I know I've done better or I've done a lot more in pole vault. Or, for example, when I scored over 8,000 points the first time last year at the CAC Games, where I came second.
Right.
I, even though I scored a PB overall, because all of my events wasn't the best I've ever seen myself done, that's all in my head. I'm saying, okay, yeah, I have way more in the tank. So that motivates me to know I could do way better. And that's why I have so much confidence in myself. It's not just make-believe confidence. I've actually seen myself do better in these events and not just better for one event. Like I've seen myself done better during the decathlon. So I know I could do it in a decathlon.
Confidence on the track and around the track and humility outside, eh? I see. I know that you had said, and this is one of your aspirations, I don't know if it's changed, you wanted to be a teacher. Is that still true?
That's still true.
And now that's more.
Yes, I still want to be a teacher because just how I like to see myself grow as a person, I want to help other people grow as a person. So whether it be teaching or me coaching, one way or another, I will help someone else grow as a person. And the best thing about it is, because now my wife is placed in Long Island, then eventually I will be in Long Island and I could try and develop Long Island to be the top dog in sports or education. Whichever God has planned for me, I'm going to try and better Long Island the best I could.
Very good and quite commendable. What is your aspiration? What is your dream? As an athlete, what is that dream where, man, you're salivating when you're thinking about what it is that you want out of this thing? What is that?
At first, like a couple of years ago, I would have said to be an Olympian. So now that I'm going to the Olympics, my goal now is to score so high that the Bahamas will be in the decathlon top list for highest scores. So now the Bahamas would not only have one of the fastest 400 meter runners, male and female, in the world, or highest high jumpers, male, in the world. Shout out to Donald Thomas. My goodness. I was talking to my coach. I drift in a bit, but I was talking to my coach about how Donald is now is turning 40 and this is his fifth Olympics. And it's not like he is going there not jumping high. He is going there jumping high. That is something I don't think no other person could say they has done for something as the high jump that takes a lot on the body. So he has elevated in my mind as one of the greatest Bahamian athletes now. And I can never lose respect for him. I don't know if anybody could lose respect for him for what he has done.
Absolutely.
But back to what you was asking me.
shout out and kudos.
Yes. I want the decathlon to be an event that is in the top list so the Bahamas can not only have those other events, but also the decathlon. Because now we're probably going to have javelin throwers, male and female, in the top list in the world. So now the Bahamas really could say track and field is going places that it has never been.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Continue for us to have the world mark the manner of our bearing.
How I almost forget about Devin Charlton, the world record holder. I was talking about the 400 meter runners and I ain't give her kudos. Shout outs to Devin Charlton as well.
Yes, and congrats on her national honor. She just got a national honor. Your time, let's go back to your time at UB. What do you recall as some of the things that you learned the most there in terms of being an athlete, in terms of building your character and preparing you for the world?
I've learned a lot in my classes, especially my classes with Mr. McCann, because that's my physical education major. And he has taught me a lot of how to deal with people, organize programs in terms of coaching or understanding, to be patient with people that you're working with. I've learned a lot from him, especially.
You've also learned from Coach Ednell Roll, eh?
I'm still learning from Ednell Roll. From today and all. I talk about outside of school related, I've learned from Ednell Roll. Like money stuff, car problems. I call him almost every problem I have. I call him first. You could even ask him. He's almost like a second father. I call him literally for any little thing. Uh-huh. And I'm on the phone with him.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's really good. We would like to, you know, I'm sure UB would like to believe that they had more than four fingers in your development, right? Had a whole hand in your development. What are some of the things you are proudest of when it comes to your experiences at UB?
I'm actually proud that I've actually took the time to go to university and pass my classes. Because I think for like on my mom and dad's side, I was the first to go to college, if I can remember. So to be able to even take that step, I'm very proud of that.
Let's talk about that first generation, being a first generation university student and your motivation for actually wanting higher education and how that has really opened the doors for you to really progress in life. A lot of people would see you as a role model, Ken, a man in a Bahamian man, you know, considering all that we are facing as a country and as a world, how the fact that we want our citizens to have a higher standard of living. We want them to continue to succeed and excel on the world stage to do better for themselves and their family. And you're doing that. And do you think that higher education had something, a big part to play in that?
Well, of course, it has a bigger part to play in it because then you get to meet more people, you get to learn new things, you get to, by meeting more people, you get to network. And basically, you survive in this world off of your experience in life and the people you meet. So higher education plays a big part in your success in life.
What is a pivotal moment in your life that significantly impacted you? Can you share one with us before we take our last break?
I could share a name, but I don't want to go into detail of what was done. So, pivotal moment for me was, oh, I lied. I just remember something. Even though we'll shout out Amara Albury. Yes, that was a pivotal moment. But I wanted to shout out one church service I've been to. This was 2 years ago before everything went up for me. There was the preacher. He prayed over me, and I can't remember what they call it. Like when they speak over your life of what they see for you.
He
He spoke
prophesied to you.
over me. Yes, he prophesied to me, and my wife recorded it, and she sent me it the other day. And everything he said in that prophecy came through. Like, for example, this was 2 years ago before I went to Illinois to train in the States. He was like, he told me, oh, he see a lot of traveling in your life. He see me moving to a cold place. You know, Illinois snow a lot. I didn't even notice at the time. This was before I moved. He said, he see me moving to a cold place. He see me traveling and competing against world-class athletes. Like he, and it was, I didn't even tell him I was an athlete at the time. He just was talking over me. So I, at the time, I was like, this is kind of crazy. And then literally 2 months later, that's when I end up getting my ticket to go to Illinois. And I'm like, oh, wow, one part of the prophecy is already taking effect.
Absolutely.
So yes, after by that moment from like 2 years ago, that moment, everything started to go up from then.
Very good. Life is like that sometimes. God gives us these messages and causes people to speak over us and tell us what's in our future. So I hope that the rest, whatever else he said, I hope it's coming through and I hope it's all good things. You're listening to University Drive. We're talking with Ken Mullings. We'll be back after these messages.
Are you ready to take your knowledge or career to new heights? Don't wait to invest in your future. Do it now. How? Earn a professional development certificate from University of the Bahamas. Whether you're looking to enhance your leadership abilities, sharpen your technical skills, or explore a new field entirely, our Continuing Education and Lifelong Learning Center has the ideal course for you. We offer single-phase electrical, ethics in procurement, accounting for entrepreneurship, stop managing, start leading, dynamic presentations, digital marketing, superior customer service, and justice of the peace. We even have courses on smartphone photography, TikTok videos, defensive driving, and interacting with difficult people. Or open the door to new languages with English as a second language, conversational Chinese, and Spanish in the workplace. Our instructors are experts in their fields, and they're here to support you every step of the way. Call us at 302-4449. Enroll today.
Chapter One Bookstore is proud to serve the students, faculty, and staff of the University of the Bahamas and the community at large. We are the premier choice for the purchase of university textbooks and supplies and UB logo apparel, paraphernalia, and gifts. We also carry a wide variety of school supplies, learning aids, and leisure books. Visit our copy center for all of your printing, copying, and binding needs. Chapter One Bookstore is located on the ground floor of the Michael H. Eldon Complex on University Drive. Shop with us on Monday through Saturday. You can contact us at 397-2650 or email at chapter1@ub.edu.bs. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chapter One Bookstore. Chapter One, the premier choice.
Back we are here on University Drive. We're talking with Ken Mullings. This is our last part of the show. It's been such a really good, heartfelt conversation with you, Ken. When you are competing, when you're in the zone, when you're at the height of your competitive mind and spirit, in the thick of it, what is the voice in your head telling you? What are you hearing?
It depends on the event. Because majority of the time, and the voice in my head is saying, you belong here. You belong here. You are better than them. Do this for your son. Do this for your wife. Those are the stuff that keep playing over and over in my head. Like when I start to get a little nervous or I start to doubt myself, those are the same things that repeat over and over. I belong here. You're better than this. You're better than them. You could beat them. Do this for your son. Your son need a new toy.
Very good. So those words of affirmation, that's actually a very good nugget of advice for everybody to speak words of affirmation over themselves. When did you start doing that?
I started doing that more. I started doing that, I would say maybe 3 years ago. But starting, like when my son was born, I started doing that more often. Because when I was not even 3 years ago, I started doing that when I did the decathlon at UB. But I just I'm doing it more now when my son was born, because now I have more than one reason to be good in track and field.
Very good. Did something in you change when you became a parent?
Yes, I had. For some people, they keep saying my dad strength kick in because because all of my thrown events has improved since my son was born. They say my power has gone up since I became a father. But me personally, I just feel like my dedication has gone up. Even though I was already given 100%, I feel like I'm giving 110% now that, your son needs some diapers.
Life be life, and they say, right?
Yeah.
You balance training for multiple events and ensuring peak performance in each one of those events? I find that so fascinating.
Well, at first, I used to try and do make sure I touch every event at least once a week. But then when I went to Illinois to train and I finally seeing how a decathlon program should be. Even though that was the first like real professional program I've seen, I've started to organize my structure based on that new information I've received. Plus, I've done my level one course last year that Edna Roll has, convinced me to do since I wanted to start coaching. Shout out to Edna again. I did my level one course, so I started to understand more how to train in these in each event. But now that I figured out how a program should be, I'm kind of using my knowledge and me and Coach Cash are like brainstorming the way things should be. And we organize it based on if we're competing or if we're on a off break.
Let's now transition into a day in the life of Ken Mullings, the athlete. Take us in the inner sanctum, right? It is X o'clock in the morning and you're getting up. Take us through a day in the life of, in terms of your training and preparing. And as an athlete, what does that look like? It's what o'clock and it goes until when? Take us in.
All right, I got you. I got you. Okay, I would wake up at either 6 a.m. or 6:10 for some reason. I don't know why 6:10, but I always just wake up before 6:10. I would wake up. I'd make my original oatmeal with peanut butter. There's a lot of people on UB who hear me say that many times, and I'm still doing that to this day. I would eat my oatmeal and peanut butter for breakfast. I would drink a big bottle of water just to make sure I'm hydrated because I used to have a lot of problems with cramping. Shout out again to Powerade because they're helping me a lot with that situation. So back to my delight, the day in the life of Ken. I'm sorry guys for keep drifting off. But yes, I'd have breakfast. I'd have a big bottle of water. Then after I eat breakfast and have my big bottle of water, I would pack my bike for each event. Let's say it's a Monday. I'd pack my sprint spikes, my long jump spikes, and my distance spikes, depends on if it's a hard week or an easy week. I'd drop my sister to work for 7:30 a.m. Then I'd be at the track by 8:30 because my coach reaches to the track for 9 a.m. and I would warm up before he comes because we know time is important and I don't like wasting people's time. So I'd start warming up at 8:30. By the time he reached at 9 a.m., I'm finished warmed up and I'm ready to put on my spikes. I would go through the normal block session. But this is the difference between the decathlon training and the individual training. When I'm doing speed stuff, I would only do 2 to 3 reps of any workout. If I'm sprinting, 2 to 3 reps. If I'm doing long jumps, 3 jumps, maybe 5 if I'm doing bad or we need to fix something. And then when I reach to the last event, I'm doing 3 of something, like 3 500s, 800, 400, 300. That's just some workouts for an example. After I finish that workout, I'll drink a bottle of Powerade and some more water just to hydrate myself. Take some multivitamins, some magnesium, trying to recover, a protein shake. Lay on the floor for about 30 minutes because I'm exhausted from the day's workout. And then when I finally recover, it'll be about 11:45. And then I head home to go and get a real hot meal. And then I'd sleep for about 2 hours. And then I remember coach said I was supposed to do a lot of stretching. So then when I wake up from my nap, I got to stretch for about 30 to 45 minutes. And by the time I do all of this, it's about 3:30 to 4:30. And then I got to go pick up my sister from work. Then when I reach back home, then I got to go and nag my mom to make me some kind of chicken breast and potatoes because I have to really focus a lot on my nutrition so my body could recover for the next day of practice.
Shout out to mom.
Yeah, shout out to mom. She's really taking care of me this last month and a half since we found out that I was making the Olympics. Mm-hmm. She's really taking good care of me and my nutrition. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's when I eat my dinner, like around 7:30-ish. Then after that, I got to drink another jug of water. Stretch one more time before I go to bed. And then I'd cut off all of my phones. First of all, I'd call my wife and we'd chat for about an hour. Somewhere along the lines, we'd chat for like an hour or two on a video call outside of the normal calls.
Thanks for saving yourself.
Then about 8:30, that's when I start, not 8:30, then about 8 o'clock, I start to like wind down. So I try to squeeze in some mangas. That's the Japanese or Korean comic books. I try mm-hmm. to squeeze in a couple minutes reading my comics. Mm-hmm. And then by 8:30, I try to cut off my phone to go to bed. And that's me every day from Monday straight to Saturday. But Saturday is a little bit less because I don't have a long training session and my sister don't work on Saturday. So it's easier for me on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And that is how every day for me go.
All right. Discipline. Diet and nutrition, they're very important. What does that look like for you? What do you said that you drink a lot, you stay hydrated, you don't want to be cramping up a lot. So the water and the other the liquids that are being provided for you, what other things are you paying attention to? You'd mentioned vitamins too.
I take a lot of multivitamins just to make sure whatever I don't get from my food, I could get from the multivitamins just to make sure I get with all I need. I take the magnesium separate just to help with some recovery, at least to my knowledge, because there's always someone else who have a better idea of how to do things, but this is how I do things. And painkillers, for some reason, is a decathlon athlete best friend. So that's one thing I always have on me, but I don't use it right now. I'm trying to train without it so I can know how my body is feeling. So me and my coach can make adjustments to really know if I'm in the best shape or if it's just because I took a ibuprofen today, why I feel so good. Okay. Yeah, so that's another secret I'm sharing. Wow, y'all learning a lot.
On University Drive.
So you're going to have all kinds of new decathlon athletes writing up their program because of this interview.
You understand. And so I want our listeners to join us every Saturday at 11. And so I hope you know that you're representing University of the Bahamas in these Paris Olympics.
I rep as well as Powerade too. Now I can't never diss the people who put me on the map.
No, don't diss Powerade, but I focusing on University of Bahamas right now.
Understandable.
There are so many people who are proud of you, Ken. And so you're taking our banner with you as much as you're taking the Bahamas flag as a member of the Bahamas team. How does that make you feel?
Oh, well, that makes me feel really good. And it makes me feel, especially how more people has qualified. It just, in general, it just makes me feel like track and field is going in the right place. Because this team alone, I was very excited when Anton Andrews made the team, because now we have a 110 hurdler on the team. I was hoping the Camille girl made it for the 100 meters, so then they could know all of us are getting better and not just me and Ian Kerr. Ian Kerr, another one in the 200 meters. I just love to see the Bahamas do well in track and field on the whole. Like, I'm not just excited for me for this Olympic team. I'm just excited on the whole that more of us are stepping up to the plate to represent the Bahamas and really go out there and show that we are small as a size, like size-wise in country, but we coming out there to hurt somebody.
Listen, big things. No small things, big things happening here.
Yes.
There are people who absolutely positively believe that this is your first Olympic Games, but this will not be your last. So said by Athletics Director Kimberly Rowe. What do you believe about
Well, I gotta take one day at a time. So
that?
once God, stay covering me and keeping me healthy, I'll make the next Olympics. I believe I can make the next Olympics once I'm healthy. Because one thing I've always said, if I make one team, I will not miss another. If I beat you this time, you will never beat me again. That's the type of motto I live by. I stand by that 10 toes down.
All right, so you beaten them and then beaten them bottle.
Yes, I beat you once, I will beat you again. I already have the recipe. If I make this team now, I know I can make it again.
Sounds like you be strong, man. What are your plans for the future, both in athletics and beyond?
I haven't thought that much in advance after Paris, because literally for the last month, I've been solely focusing, putting all my focus on going there to score high as possible. But after Paris, like if I was to think about it now, my goal is to one, take a nice long needed break to really rejuvenate and get my body back to 100%, because next year is another big one. We have world champs again next year. I have GOTSIS again next year. And there's another meet that is happening in July or August before World Champs, I forget, but even that I have to be prepared for. So I know for sure after Paris, me and my coach will have to go in the drawing room and make sure I get enough rest and we execute our schedule to make sure I'm ready to compete in all three or four decathlons. However many decathlons I have to do next year, I have to make sure I'm ready for all of them.
All right, sounds like a plan. What advice would you give to young athletes who aspire to compete at the highest levels of their sport?
I would tell them to trust their coach. We have so many really good athletes that are doing well with their coaches, or we have so many really good athletes who don't really trust or believe that their coach is the best fit for them, or they have someone else talking in their ear, distracting them. So one of the advice I would like to give them is trust in your coach and trust in your ability, because it's like a partnership. You have to believe in yourself and you have to believe in your coach for it to work. Because if you don't believe in the program your coach set out for you, then you will not give it 100% and you won't get the rewards for actually training. You wouldn't reap no rewards. So it have to go hand in hand. You have to believe in yourself for one, and you have to believe in your coach program. If you don't believe in it, just switch coach. Don't stick with them. That's another advice. Because a lot of them stick with the coach even though they feel like that's not the best fit. Shoes, I might get backlash for saying that, but hey, that needs to be said.
Yeah, on University Drive, we say what needs to be said. So we're come to the point in the show where it's time for us to wrap up. We've talked about a lot. We've talked about your life as an athlete. We've talked about you personally, your aspirations, your motivations, some advice, and you're on your road to progress, on your road of progress, I should say. Any parting thoughts as we wrap up? You're headed to Paris. You're headed to the Olympics. You're going to be carrying the banner of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Any wrap-up thoughts?
Any wrap? No, I feel like we covered everything, but I would like to say I'm open to any conversations for young athletes or anybody who is inspiring to be athletes. I'm sure a lot of y'all have me on IG or Facebook. If you shoot me a message, I will answer back. Like I say, I like to help when I can help.
Absolutely. It's important to pour back into our young people, right?
Yes.
Very good.
They are the future.
Absolutely. Our young people are the future. Such a positive note to end on and the right note to end on. Thank you all for listening to University Drive for this episode. We've been talking with Ken Mullings Jr., a member of the Bahamas Olympic team, the only multi-event athlete on that team, a UB alum, a former student, and we claim him big time. I've been
Yes.
your host, Tamika Lundy, for University Drive. Thank you so much for connecting with us. See you again next time. Goodbye, everyone.
University Drive is a production of the Office of University Relations at University of the Bahamas. All rights reserved.